Hey, greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Because there's so much mixed up in religion concerning the Bible, Protestantism, Catholicism, Judaism, the Bible, which version, which translation, and all of these things are out there. And so it becomes very confusing. And then on top of that, Paul has written some things which are very difficult to understand. And the reason they're difficult to understand is because Protestants come to those verses that are difficult to understand with a preset notion in their minds that Jesus did away with the law. And so they're confused concerning works of law and commandment keeping. Now, there are eight places where there is the statement works of law. So let's read one in Romans 3. And here, when you read it, and when you first read it, you think, well, you don't have to keep any law at all. But that's not true. We'll see that. Verse 20, Romans 3. Therefore, by works of law, there shall no flesh be justified before him, for through the law is the knowledge of sin. Almost every translation has inserted two definite articles that should not be there. And that's what has caused the confusion. Because verse 20 reads in most translations, therefore, by the works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified before him. Well, that sure sounds like you don't have to keep any law. All right? Now, this appears to conflict with verse 13, chapter 2. Now, think about this. So how do we resolve this, which we're going to tackle this time? So hang on and pay attention. Romans 2, verse 13. Because the hearers of the law are not just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Now, that's a mysterious thing, isn't it? Because when you read chapter 3, verse 20, no flesh is justified by the works of the law, the incorrect translation, it appears to be in direct conflict to verse 13. And this is one of the first things that I stumbled over 60 years ago. How could that be? What is the answer to it? Okay. Well, as we've seen in previous segments, the phrase works of law without the definite articles means works of Judaism law. And we can add to that works of Catholicism law and works of Protestantism law, or works by any other thing than the Word of God. And all of those are then devices and works of men. Now we can answer the question here in Romans, the second chapter, if you can pay special attention to it. Now, if you do not have the Holy Bible in its original order, a faithful version, then you need to get it. Because all of these places where it has been mistranslated have been corrected. Now then, come back to Romans 2 and verse 12. For as many as have sinned. Now what is sin? Sin is the transgression of the law. Or, stronger, true translation is, sin is lawlessness. So when you do away with the laws of God, is that not lawlessness? Let's go on. As many have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned within the law shall be judged by the law. Now, that's why we always refer back to, how do you know what sin is? Start with the Ten Commandments and ask yourself, do I obey this law or do I transgress this law? And all of those that you do not obey, you're transgressing, meaning you're sinning. So you may think you're in right standing with God, but you're not. Let's read on. Because the hearers of the law are not just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified, which means this. You come to the knowledge of the truth of God's way, you see where you have sinned, and you repent. And repentance means you stop sinning, and you start obeying God and keeping His commandments and His laws. Okay? Then, that repentance lead, as we have seen, leads to baptism. And baptism, then, is when you receive the Holy Spirit of God. And you have a pledge to God that you are going to live and walk in His way. Now, you watch our segments we've done on baptism. So this is clear. If you haven't already ordered your life to the point that you have stopped sinning and started obeying God, you can't be justified. And justified means put in right standing with God, having your sins forgiven. No man in between. No priest, no rabbi, no pastor. You and God. Now he gives an example. Very interesting here. For when the Gentiles, now this is comparing to the Jews, which do not have the law, God didn't give them the law. He gave it to all the 12 tribes of Israel. Practice by nature the things contained in the law. These who do not have the law are a law unto themselves. So in other words, when you practice the law, that is a good thing. That's what this is showing. Now notice continually here, verse 15, because here is the only place in the New Testament where the complete phrase, the work of the law, is used. And it's not used in the sense of Judaism laws. It's used in the sense of God's laws. That's why it's important to understand in all of the other places where those two definite articles are not there, they mean the laws of Judaism and the sacrificial laws of the temple. Now let's read it. Verse 15, who show the work of the law. There it is. Definite articles in the Greek. Who show the work of the law written in their hearts. And that's what we've covered. That's where God wants the laws that He has given. He wants them in our hearts and in our minds because those will help us lead where we need to go according to the Word of God. See? Now notice, their reasonings also as they accuse or defend one another. Now isn't that interesting? That some people claim that they belong to God, yet they have so many sins that there are some other people who don't have the law of God are more righteous than the ones who claim to have it. And that's precisely where we are in America today, right? Yes, indeed. See? So here it is. Gentiles who weren't given the law, who show the work of the law written in their hearts. That's a good thing. See? That shows that they will be justified because if it's written in their hearts, what are they doing? They are doers of the law. Now, I hope that gives you understanding. Now, let's come down to verse 17 and let's see what Paul says. Now, he talks to the Jew directly because the Jews think that they are the chosen people of the whole world. But they're not. The chosen are those who are with Christ. The true Christians who are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. But let's read it here. Verse 17. Behold, you are called a Jew, and you yourself rest in the law and boast in God. That's what they say. And tell everyone, well, from Adam forward, everything in the Old Testament is Jewish. Not true. And know his will and approve the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. And you are persuaded that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of the knowledge and of the truth contained in the law. Yes, they have it, but they don't follow it. They have their own code of Jewish law.
The Ark in the synagogue is a reminder of the original Ark that the Israelites took with them in the wilderness, which contained the original tablets of stone on which the Torah was written. Opening the Ark is a special honor because the Torah itself is the holiest of all objects in Jewish life.
If you are called to open the Ark by a shul warden, you should stand up and approach the Ark. The warden will indicate to you when to open it, just before the chazan says the following words.
Vayi bin Soharon, vayomer Moshe.
You open the Ark to reveal the Torah scrolls inside. It may be manual, or it may have a cord to pull it open. You will be shown which Torah scroll to take out. Take it out by holding it from underneath to take the full weight, and then hand it to the chazan on his right shoulder. He sings and takes it to the bima, while you close the ark by closing the curtains, but not the doors of the ark. You then go back to your seat. The Torah is then read. After reading, you go back to the ark, and everyone stands. Open the ark just before the chazan says the following words.
Yahalelu et Shem Adonai, ki niskav shemo levado.
Then you stand and wait until the chazan brings the Torah back to you. You touch the Torah with a corner from your talit, kiss the corner, replace the Torah back into the ark, close the curtains and the doors after the chazan has concluded with Chadesh Yamenu Kekedem. You may be congratulated with the word Shekoyach. Then go to sit in your seat again.
Now then, Paul corrects them. And this is very profound. You then, who are teaching another, do you not teach yourself also? You who preach do not steal, are you stealing? You who say, do not commit adultery, are you committing adultery? You who abhor idols, are you committing sacrilege? Well, they are, with the code of Jewish law. You who boast in law, are you dishonoring God through your transgression of the law? See, they boast in law. We've got our phylacteries on our hands and on our foreheads and our prayer shawls, and we have our traditions, and we pray at the Wailing Wall, and we're so righteous. But they're transgressing the law. And through you, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles exactly as it is written. He gets real direct here now. And this is one of the most scathing indictments of Judaism in the book of Romans. See, because Paul used to be very high in Judaism and was one of the chief priests' favorite operators and was used to go arrest people who were Christians and throw them into jail and also stand by while they were killed. So he knows what he's talking about. For on the one hand, circumcision profits if you are observing the law. Because there's another circumcision in the New Testament, which is not physical, but circumcision of the heart. On the other hand, if you're a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision, and you don't know how absolutely painful that last statement is to Jews. Because they figure that in keeping the code of Jewish law, they're keeping the laws of God, but they're not. They're keeping the laws of men. Therefore, if the uncircumcised, that is the Gentile, is keeping the requirements of the law, that's the law of God. See? Keeping them. That's what you need to understand. They weren't sinning, they weren't transgressing, but the Jews who boasted in the law and had their own code of Jewish law were transgressing the laws of God, thinking they were keeping the laws of God. So it says, the Gentile who is keeping the requirements of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be reckoned for circumcision? Now this is galling to the Jew, because they look upon all other people and races uncircumcised as Goyim. Paul says this, shall not his uncircumcision be reckoned for circumcision? Yes, because it's circumcision of the heart, as we'll see. Now notice verse 27, and shall not the uncircumcised, who by nature is fulfilling the law? Fulfilling it. Isn't that what Jesus said he came to do, to complete the law so it could be kept? Fulfilling the law, doing the things by the laws of God? Compare that with all the Ten Commandments, see? Who by nature is fulfilling the law, judge you? Now this is even more galling to the Jews. That those unclean, uncircumcised Gentiles are going to end up judging them. Huh. So you see what a great problem this was and still is. Judge you who with the letter and circumcision are a transgressor of the law. Now that's quite astounding. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. So he's saying, you can't rely on your race and your circumcision to give you an inside track to God. Especially if you are sinning and if you are rejecting the laws of God. He is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is external in the flesh. Rather, he is a Jew, and that means following Christ, who is one inwardly, and the circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Now, once you understand that, and once you understand all the other places, now we have those. We have those. If you have the Holy Bible in its original order, you read Appendix Z, Understanding Paul's Difficult Scriptures to Understand. And if you can understand what we have just covered here, and if you can go through all those other seven places, which are works of law, then you will see what the problem really was. Remember this, especially all of you who are Protestants. The difficulty in the Bible, in Romans and all of Paul's writings, is not Catholicism versus Protestantism. It is the truth of God and the new covenant versus the Jews and the code of Jewish law and their rejection of Jesus Christ. That's the problem. Now, let's come back here to John 14 and let's read some very important verses, because you might want to ask the question, what does Jesus say about this? See? Now, when you have your sins forgiven, what did Jesus always say to the one whose sins were forgiven and they were healed? He would tell him, go and sin no more. Now, that's what he told the man who had the infirmity for 38 years and was waiting to be put into the pool. Jesus healed him and told him to take up his roll and walk. And then later, when he saw him again later at the temple, he said, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Now that tells us this, there are a lot of problems in life that come upon us because of sin. And too many people don't know about God. Okay? So, let's come to John 14 and verse 15. These are the words of Jesus. If you love me, now how many people profess to love Jesus? A lot of them do. And most of them keep Sunday. Huh. Let's read on. Keep the commandments, namely, my commandments. So Jesus said, keep the commandments. What did we just read in Romans 2 about the Gentiles who what? Keep the requirements of the law. Right? Yes, indeed. This is important for you to understand. Now notice what will happen. If you do that and repent and are baptized, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that it may be with you throughout the age, even the Spirit of the truth, which the world cannot receive, because it perceives it not, nor knows it. But you know it, because it dwells with you, and shall be within you. And that's the ultimate of repentance and baptism, and receiving the Holy Spirit of God. See? Verse 23. Jesus answered him and said, if anyone love me, he will keep my word. Now that's his whole message. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. So when the Holy Spirit comes, there are two parts of it, from the Father and from Jesus. Now, Let's read the next verse, because this becomes very important to cover everything we have gone over up to this point. The one who does not love me does not keep my words. Think of that. Those who deny that Jesus Christ, before he came in the flesh, was the Lord God of the Old Testament, and he was the one who gave the Ten Commandments. He's the one who spoke the Ten Commandments. And those are his words. And nowhere in the Bible does it say that God did away with his law. Jesus, remember, verified that it wouldn't happen as long as heaven and earth were still going and working. Are they? Yes. So let's read it. The one who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So what are you doing when you reject the word of God? Are you just rejecting a man? Are you just rejecting a religion? No. You are rejecting the great sovereign of the universe, God the Father himself. God the Most High. So that's the truth of works of law. And the works of the law, which are fulfilling the requirements of the law. Now, you may have to listen to this segment a couple of times to really get it, but if you do, you will understand it. Now, you need to have these two books that we have been mentioning right along, Judaism versus Scripturalism, and Judaism, Revelation of Moses, or Religion of Men. And you need our book, Lord, What Should I Do? We have a lot of material on baptism and repentance and loving God. And what do you do in these days that are evil and we're surrounded with so many difficult things going on? We just covered it. You come to God in repentance. You come to God with a humble attitude and you repent and you are baptized and receive the Holy Spirit of God. And we've got elders to do that wherever you are. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And till next time, this is Fred Calder saying, so long, everyone.